Keith said he's only heard me speak once because I think he's the only person dumb enough to ask me to speak. Or that may have been the only time I've actually been dumb enough to say yes to public speaking. I don't, it's one of those two things. I definitely share with what Brother Steve shared in the first session about one-on-one discipleship and with Jeff as well. You saw in my bio that I'm a controller for Delta Faucet Company. That's really just a glorified term for an accountant. So now you're sitting here after lunch, your bellies are full, you listen to a video, and you have to listen to an accountant speak. So I guess it's good luck to me. Good luck to me. So, but what I really want to do, you know, Pastor Keith asked if I would just kind of share what are some of the opportunities that God has brought to me for one-on-one discipleship relationships. And so I've had the privilege and the blessing of really learning the truths associated with Proverbs 27:17, which says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. And that's really what I want to do, is just share the heart of that. I'm not by any means an expert on one-on-one discipleship, although I've learned a lot from the opportunities that God's given me. So I want to share those things. So I'm a controller. I work for Delta Faucet Company. It's a glorified accountant. I don't really like that word, accountant, because people kind of put a stereotype on you. All of a sudden, people go around calling you, thinking it's okay to call me a bean counter. And, you know, they think you're some backward nerd who can't carry on a conversation with somebody, let alone start a conversation with somebody on the street. And it's like they judge you all of a sudden with that. And, well, some of that probably is true about me. You know, there's that name, that accountant, that bean counter that I just don't like. But from a career standpoint, that's who I am. A little bit more about myself, because a lot of you guys are from the church here, and you know me, but some of you are not. I went to Bob Jones University and got my undergraduate degree in finance, and then actually met my wife at Grace up in Anderson at Pastor Crockett's church when we were in high school, and got married shortly after I graduated from college. And so just coming January, we'll celebrate our 15th wedding anniversary. So God's really blessed me there. Wonderful wife. You guys know Jessica, know how blessed I am. He's given us two beautiful girls. Emma will turn 10 next month. Ava is a live wire, turned 7 last month. And so really, as a dad and as a husband, I have the responsibility and the opportunity for discipleship every day of my life in my home. So even not in the workforce, I have that I can draw from and learn from, you know, as I mature as a man in the home, as a father and a husband. So I have that to draw on and to help me. After I was married, kind of like Jeff, I went on and went back and got my MBA degree. I went down to IUPUI, where some of you guys are at. Got my master's in business from Indiana Kelley School of Business down there. And then a few years later, I went on and got my certified public accounting license. And I've been working at Delta Faucet Company here in Indianapolis for about 12 years. I'm controller of the international operations. So everything outside the U.S., I have kind of a financial responsibility for that. So that gives me an opportunity to travel to some other countries a few times a year. And I'm definitely thankful for things like FaceTime and things like that to make it a little bit easier for you to keep in contact with your family when you're away. You know, as we study God's Word, we really learn a lot about ourselves, and we learn a lot about each other. And so as I study God's Word, I know things about you because I've learned things about myself. And there's things about my past that I have regrets about, and as you probably do, or you look at some point in your life, and you look back and you say there's things you have regrets about. And for me, just being transparent with you guys, is one of my biggest regrets is it really took me so long in my life to have that deep personal walk with God. You know, I was saved at the age of 12, and I had the blessing of growing up in a Christian home. I had Christian parents, were first generation Christians, went to a Christian school, went to a Christian university, but really just didn't take advantage of a lot of opportunities to grow in my faith. And as Brother Steve was saying, you have to have that point in your life, and as Jeff said, where you kind of make that commitment to grow in Christ. And Jeff talked about, is Christ an add-on in your relationship, or is he a priority? And it wasn't really until I was about the age of 26 that I really made that decision and realized that Christ was just an add-on in my life. And it wasn't, as I had time to fit him into other hobbies and business things, I would fit him in, but it wasn't a priority for me. And since the age of 26, I've made that change in my life. You know, I don't miss my devotions. You know, I know where I'm going to be in the morning when I get up, and I don't. That's just a priority in my life. And things have changed. I've grown since then. But as I look back, you know, there was that period before I turned between 12 when I got saved and 26 that Christ just really wasn't that priority in my life. And that's one of my regrets. But what I want to do the next few minutes is kind of share Three situations that are kind of like Ted that Jeff talked about. Opportunities that God's given me in the workforce. And one is a guy named Jeremy. He's a former Marine. And so it was back in 2008. I used to carry around, before I had a smartphone, do you guys know what these are? This is a little pocket Moleskine. So you guys may have larger Moleskines that you used to take notes in. I used to carry this around, and on the inside, I would write some things. I had a sticky note inside that had like things I was praying about, and on this side I had a to-do list. And I made this decision in life, this is where I was going, and some of my friends that I was hanging around, they were still going in this other direction. So me and some of my friends, we just kind of started going different ways. And so I had this lack of male friendship in my life that was really headed in the same direction that I was headed. So on this prayer request list, I didn't really know how to capture it, but I just wrote down male friends. And for me, I knew what that meant. I knew what I was praying about. On the other side, I had just this list of to-do things, things that I needed to just get done in life. Well, I had this at work, and I had this on my desk, right, like beside my computer, and my boss walks in, and he's like, well, what's that? And he grabs it, and he's like, was that your little black book? I'm like, well, I guess, but no, it's not that. And so he grabs it, and he opens it up, and I was like, my mind just starts racing. What's he going to think when he reads this caption that says, male friend, right? And I was like, that's where my mind goes, that's what I'm thinking. Well, he didn't even see that. It was actually got a little more awkward than that. He looked at the other side of the page where I had a to-do list, and then he asked me why under my to-do list I had written down to update my resume. Because that's one of the things that was in my to-do list, was update my resume. And so that was kind of where this started. But I started with a prayer request for male friends. And I hired this guy named Jeremy, and I didn't realize that he was an answer to God's prayer until, you know, maybe 6 months after we had really been working together. And I had worked at the company for probably 7 years, really without any Christian fellowship in the workplace. And so, you know, when you start talking to somebody, there's very general conversations. And Jeremy and I ended up learning about each other's faith from the most basic conversation, what'd you do this weekend? And as we shared what we did this weekend, church came up in our schedule. And as church comes up in your schedule, that leads to other things. We began to share our faith, come to the knowledge that we had that same kind of relationship. It was just refreshing to have somebody else at work that I could talk about religious things and about scripture at that time. And so we just found ourselves getting together talking about those things. And what I've learned is that when two people get together and they start talking about these religious things, one of two things tends to happen. Either you find out you have differences in beliefs or practice, or you have questions that come up that you just don't have the answers to. And for us, it was really both of those. We had vast differences in how we were raised, and differences in our beliefs at that point, and differences in how we did our practice. And so in my personal devotions, I had been reading this book that I got from our church bookstore. It's called The Bible Has the Answers, and it's just this list of all of these questions that you could ask, you know, or want to know from the Bible. And so as we would come across questions, I found myself going back to this book a few times to find, oh, I wonder if the answer is in here. And as I would find it, I would show him the answer to that. Eventually, I just showed him, hey, look at the topics in here. We looked at it, and we said, hey, why don't we just read this book together? So we started reading this book together, and it just kind of developed into a discipleship relationship. It was not something that was expected. We enjoyed the fellowship and the time together, read through this book, and then we started reading other books. When we were done with this, we weren't sure what to do next, and in my personal devotions, I was reading a Bible commentary series by J. Vernon McGee. And really, it just goes through a chapter of the Bible, and it gives a man's commentary on what the Bible's about, and it gives you a little deeper approach to studying the Bible other than just reading the chapter itself. And so we started just doing a chapter a week on this. And that was back in 2008. We're about 6 or 9 months away from having done every book of the New Testament together. And that's just a tremendous blessing that God's given us that kind of relationship, to have that one-on-one meetings. You know, we've had a lot of highs together, spiritual highs together, a lot of lows together as we've learned. This specific opportunity was really my first one, and I didn't look at it as a discipleship opportunity. I hadn't really been trained in discipleship. It just kind of developed, right? If I were to say, you know, you need to get involved in discipleship, I wouldn't tell you to go to a book that has a bunch of questions and start, you know, a discipleship program with somebody on a book that has a bunch of questions. But that's how God started our relationship. And he really, really used that to help mature both of our faith. And We've learned a lot of scripture through it. You know, we've seen each other grow spiritually. We challenge each other. We exhort. We encourage. But God's blessed me in the work setting that, you know, I have an office that has a door. He has an office that has a door. And it was a little awkward at front, say, okay, how do we, you know, live out our faith and do a Bible study in the secular workplace? You know, are we going to get in trouble for this? Should we do it? Should we tell people we're doing it? Should we not? And we had to kind of work through that. But eventually, because of the consistency that we did it every Friday, kind of like Jeff did. And it was always people were going out to eat. And it was like, hey, can you guys go? And we just said, hey, we need to prioritize this. And so they eventually learned that, well, Ryan and Jeremy aren't available on Fridays, so we're out to eat because, you know, they're there. It's that closed door over there, and they're doing that in there. So that became a little bit way for us to share our faith with those we work with a little bit more clearly. So that's Jeremy. Second relationship started with a guy named Brett. Jeremy and I really had very different backgrounds, very different upbringings. He had a broken home, a lot of challenges, didn't have opportunity for a Christian family. He was really the first Christian and only Christian in his family that really has a lot of trouble. But then I hired this other guy named Brett, who's actually a Cedarville graduate, and I hired him. He was 1 year out of college, so about the same age as a lot of you guys in here. He was 1 year out of college, had been raised in a Christian home, went to Christian school, went to a Christian university. And I knew from his resume that he was probably a Christian, and once we started working together, it was pretty easy to find out that he was. And Brett was 1 year out of college, and he was engaged. And so he was engaged with only one thing that he wanted to talk about. That was his fiance and the upcoming marriage and the honeymoon. So all the time at work, that's what he wanted to talk about. So that's just kind of what we talked about. And it came time for his wedding, and I was like, okay, what does a guy get a guy for a wedding, right? I don't even think I can actually get myself to go Google that. So what does a guy get another guy for a wedding? So, you know, I had read this book called Husband After God's Own Heart. And I thought, you know, that would be a great gift to give to him. And so for their wedding, I gave him a husband after God's own heart, and I gave a book to her, a wife after God's own heart. And I just wrote something in the front of it to say, you know, I've got listed how many times I've read this because my wife doesn't need to keep reading it. But I gave it to him, wrote a personal note inside his that said, hey, here's, you know, for your marriage, this is what I've learned. You know, you're going to come across struggles in this new relationship. Things like this can be a big help to you, and you need to make sure you read this for the benefit of you and your spouse. You need to make sure your spouse reads hers for the benefit of her and the benefit of you. Kind of gave those to them as a wedding gift. He got married, went on the honeymoon. A couple months went by, and really just followed up with him at work. I said, hey, have you ever had a chance to read that book? He said, no, you know, just been busy doing other things. And I said, well, you know, I've read it a couple times. He knew that Jeremy and I were meeting in the workplace once a week. I said, how about if we just met and we went through this chapter by chapter? I said, it's always good for me to go back and, you know, be reminded of the things that I need to do. And so, whereas Jeremy and I met for lunch once a week, Brett and I started meeting, you know, at 7 at work, and we do an hour before work and kind of went through this together. And that's kind of how that relationship started with Brett. We had a lot in common. The age, there was a little bit more of an age difference between us and situation in life, but that's how that situation and that relationship started with Brett. Brett no longer works at the same place that I work, and so I can't have that. It's a little harder to have that weekly interaction with him, but, you know, we text each other with encouragement, and we try to meet at least once a month for lunch. And because we had that weekly interaction that built that trust and that relationship, now when we get together, it's very easy to say, hey, Brett, what are you reading? You know, what are you doing in devotions? How's your marriage? What are the things that you're struggling with? He was getting ready to have a baby. What are you thinking about? And that personal one-on-one time together kind of gave us that a little bit easier opportunity when we get together less frequently to really exhort and challenge each other at that deeper level. So we kind of maintain that one. I forgot to do something with Jeremy, or remind you guys how these relationships come about. With Jeremy, the first one, that relationship really came about out of a prayer request where I was praying for male friends. With Brett, that relationship really developed because I talked to people about what they wanted to talk about the most. All he wanted to talk about was his fiance and his wedding. And so that's really how that relationship with him developed. So just reminding myself as I look back on these things how that relationship was able to be fostered was just talking to people about what they want to talk about the most. The third one, Keith already alluded to, which was Robert. Robert's a Chinese guy, and some of you guys have seen him around church as he's been coming to church here. And as Jeremy and I were meeting, we were going through the Gospel of John. And I looked back, and it was John chapter 1 where the disciples are being called. And I just remember being convicted about when Andrew, you know, was called by the Lord, how quickly Andrew went out and just started recruiting other people and sharing his faith with other people. And I remember the Lord just said, you know, man, that's where I struggle. That's not my life. You know, my life is not written as God wrote Andrew's life in the Bible. And I was convicted about that. And we talked about that. Jeremy and I did in our Bible study. And it was either that day or in a couple days following that, while that was on my heart, that I got an email from this guy named Robert. And he was, let me turn that down. Robert was a new guy. He was a Chinese guy who moved to the U.S., got his master's degree from Duke University, and started working at our office here in Indianapolis. He'd been there 2 months, and I got an email from him. It was just an email that said, hey, we're going to be working together. I'd like to just go to lunch and network with you to get to know you a little bit. And I'm not one of the guys who just goes out to eat a lot. I do other things during lunch. I use that time. But the Holy Spirit, what it said to me right then, that still small voice, was, you need to say yes. You need to go out to lunch with Robert, but you need to go with a purpose. And it's the same thing that Jeff says. I need to go with a purpose, not of getting Robert saved if he's not saved, but just with the simple purpose of finding out where he is spiritually. It wasn't some huge step that I had to take. It was just that first step. But, you know, sometimes that first step, it can still seem big. Like, I know I failed so many times in taking that first step. And so Satan wants to tempt you that you're not going to do it. You're not going to be faithful. You're not going to follow through. And, you know, Jeff mentioned it. I mentioned it. You know, there's always these two doors of opportunity when these situations come. There's the door of opportunity of obeying that still small voice of the Holy Spirit and putting your faith in that and trust in God that he'll help you to obey and actually walking through that door of obedience. And there's the fear of man, right? And there's always door number two of not obeying the Holy Spirit, not taking that step of action and doing, you know, not what God's will is for you at that moment. And I was fighting that right then. Even when I knew I hadn't even been placed in that situation yet, I knew myself well enough and the temptations that I had about myself that I might not be faithful in that moment. And so I prayed about it, and I went back to Jeremy, and I told Jeremy, it's kind of created accountability. I said, I've got this lunch appointment. Pray that I'll be faithful. All I want to do is try to find out where he is spiritually. So prayed about that opportunity. It came the time where to go to lunch. I said, hey, I'll drive. Come get in my vehicle. Let's go to lunch. And we went, started on our way to lunch, and I had been praying, Lord, just make it easy on me, right? Just open that door of opportunity just so wide it's easy for me to walk through. You know, don't make it so hard. Make it easy. And I got in the vehicle, and you just start the conversation, just how you guys start a normal conversation. It had to have been a Monday, because I remember the question was, what'd you do this weekend? And as he shared with me what he did this weekend, part of his schedule was church attendance. And I thought, oh, well, that's the Lord just opening the door wide open. That's the answer to prayer that I've been asking for. So I knew the Lord was in that meeting. We went to lunch, and we started sharing things about our faith. And Robert, at that point, was a seeker. He was trying to find out the purpose of life. He was trying to find out where religion kind of fit into who he was personally. So we shared a little bit about our faith, and we were having some evangelistic meetings. And so I invited him to come to church. And I specifically remember the first night he came to an evangelistic meeting here, he showed up on Hellfire and Brimstone night. You know, that night where the evangelist just lays it all out there, and it's the culmination of the series. And I'm sitting there beside him, I'm thinking, this is probably the last time he's going to be in church. So you just feel awkward when you have that unsaved person beside you. You're glad he's there and hearing this, but it's almost you're selfishly thinking about yourself and what's that person thinking about you. And it was very clear how unfamiliar a church like Colonial was to him when he sat down beside me and the speaker was up there and people started walking behind the speaker. And he leans over to me and says, why are people sitting up there? And I was like, well, that's the choir. You know, they're going to go up there and sing. And it just became real to me how just unfamiliar this U.S. church was to Robert. And we talked at work the next week. He really enjoyed it, really appreciated the open nature and the care that the people of the church kind of expressed to him and the passion that the preacher had about the Word of God. And so God used that in his heart. from there, we just kind of continued meeting. He was a seeker, so I forgot to bring two books that I used with Robert, but I gave him a book called Done. And some of you guys have probably seen this in our church bookstore here, and it says, What Most Religions Don't Tell You About the Bible. And it's a very short pamphlet, and it basically says every religion out there you have to do something. You have to do something for heaven. But Christianity and the Bible says it's already done for you. Everything you have to do to get to heaven is already done. And it has a great scripture, walk through the plan of salvation in that book. Gave that to Robert. He ate it up. We've met weekly. And it was clear that Robert was moving towards that point of salvation. We started another book called The Exchange. And we started going through that book together as well. And it was very helpful. And I could just tell that Robert was growing closer and closer towards that point of salvation. And almost to the point where he felt like he was standing on a cliff. You just had to just like barely nudge him. Like he couldn't figure out almost why he wasn't getting saved. And I remember we went to a Panda Express one day, and the Lord had impressed on me I just needed to put the bridge of salvation in front of him. If you've ever seen that, it's just a picture of man's over here, heaven's over here. Works don't get you. You put the cross down. You give the verses about Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And I remember I had a napkin. I practiced it because I'm like, I'm going to fail. I'm going to look at these verses. But I grabbed a napkin. We're sitting in Panda Express. He's got this big tiger paw of food in front of me, and this Chinese guy ready to devour Panda Express, and Robert's just this enormously gregarious guy, if you know him. And as I went through that, it was just very clear that the Holy Spirit just went on his heart. His whole countenance changed, almost like he was having a heart attack. He just stopped eating, his personality changed, and it was clear that he was convicted. He understood the plan of salvation, but he wasn't quite ready. A couple more meetings, we were on the way back to the office after lunch one day, and he was at that point where he's like, I understand the plan of salvation, but he asked me, how do I have faith? I didn't know how to answer that question. I don't know how to tell somebody else to have faith. You know, so I gave him some examples of what faith looks like, you know, the illustrations that we've heard, and it's like, you know, holding on to that rope, you just gotta let go, Robert, and you gotta trust that God's gonna be there for you, because that's who he says he is. God is faithful. He'll prove himself faithful to you. And I gave him the illustration of the rainbow. He'd never heard the biblical explanation for why we have the rainbow. So in the car, in the church park, in the parking lot of our workplace, I explained to him the purpose of the rainbow. And this isn't a lie. I was on a Wednesday. On that Wednesday, Wednesday I leave work and I come to church. He was going home. A small storm went through and there was a triple rainbow in the sky. Robert saw it, stopped his car, took a picture of the triple rainbow. The next day, he came in, showed me the picture on his phone, said, we just talked about that yesterday. I said, I know. I said, Robert, God's pursuing you. And it was over and over again, God just kept proving to himself that he was pursuing him. And I said, pray to Jesus of the Bible that he'll prove himself to you, and he will. I had to go on a business trip out of the country, and by the time I got back, you know, Robert had already put his faith and trust in Christ our Savior. I came here to church and we were getting ready to set up our next meeting in the exchange, and he said, well, we can do that. I said, you know, do you want to meet Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? What day do you want to meet? He's like, well, let's do Tuesday, but you know, we can do that next chapter, we can just skip to the end. I was like, what do you mean skip to the end? And you know, he told me that he had already prayed and accepted Christ as a Savior. And so it was a tremendous blessing. And as we look back on it, it was that what brought that relationship about was just obeying that prompting of the Holy Spirit that he put in my heart. And certainly, without a doubt, there are many times I've not done that. But it's that kind of that pillar that I can put down, kind of that Jeff said, that really just encourages you to do that next time because of the blessing that comes out of it. Afterwards, Robert and I went through this same book together. We started out, and it was a good way for me to show him just how practical the Bible is for your everyday life. He now has an unsaved spouse, and so it's important for him to know how he should be behaving as a Christian man in his relationship. And so we went through that book, and you know, I remember there's times where we would show up and he wouldn't have the chapter done because he goes, well, I can't talk about that chapter because I'm not very good at that. So I don't want to talk about that. I was like, yeah, me either, but let's talk about it. And so we would go through those things, and I didn't know how quickly just to get with a new believer to just get right into Bible study versus doing some of these other topical books. Nobody had ever really told me how to, you know, what should you start out with a new believer. I was trying to figure that out. And so I wanted something to be just very practical so that he would fall in love with the Bible. And so that's kind of why we started with that book. The more I got to know Robert, I mean, I found out the guy speaks three languages. He's read Plato, Aristotle, everything that Freud's written. And I was like, well, he's a pretty smart guy. And so I was like, let's just go to the Bible. He was hungry for it. And so we've started a series, and Pastor Keith helped me find this series. It's by Warren Wiersbe, and it's called the B Series. And so this is the book of James, and it's about being mature. And it goes through a little bit of the scripture, and it has about 10 or 12 questions at the end of each chapter. You kind of like Jeff did, you go back and forth, and you talk about it. And it gives you a structured approach to your meeting. And so that's kind of what Robert and I have gone through. And so as I go through those three examples and just remind myself, remind you guys kind of what brought those opportunities. Robert, it was obeying the Holy Spirit's prompting in my heart. With Jeremy, it was just having a prayer request for some male friendship with like-minded nature and like desire to grow, to be like Christ. And then with Brett, it was really talking about things that person wanted to talk about the most. And those are the things that kind of brought those relationships about. Real quickly, what I want to buzz through kind of 10 things that I've kind of learned. I'm not going to dive into these. These are going to go just buzz right through them. And I don't have all the scriptures associated with these. I'll leave that to Brother Steve to help us with. But one is just to, as you get these opportunities, is to be practical. Obviously, be practical in kind of what you meet about and what you study. I would not, like I already said, I would not recommend you pick up a book like the Bible has the answers, that has questions, and start with a book like that, you know, with a new believer. You know, that's what God used. You wouldn't necessarily want to start with the book of Revelation, you know, in a Bible study with somebody. So you have to be practical. To be planful. So you guys said that Jeff is very intentional about it, and you have to be planful. And I learned there's some ground rules that you really need to have in these Bible studies that I've learned along the way. A friend of mine taught me in a marriage relationship something I learned in these meetings is the principle of PPP, present your partner perfectly. These are not an opportunity to get together and talk about your spouse. And you have to be careful about that as you get in a close relationship with somebody else in a Bible study. It's not to present your partner's flaws or to talk about the problems in your house. You have to be careful and guard about that. Avoid listen for the I think, I feel, I believe. Because that comes up a lot. We did that a lot starting out, and we had to correct ourselves that although what I think, feel, and believe is important, really the ultimate goal of us meeting is to see if what I think, feel, and believe aligns with the gospel, aligns with the Bible. And so set that out if you're going to have a meeting for yourself and with the other person to say, let's be careful about I think, I believe, I feel, and when we hear it, let's check and see if that's aligned with Scripture. Be accountable. I've asked quite a few people in my life to be an accountability partner for me, and there's just a lot of people who are not good accountability partners. If you find that you can be an accountability partner for somebody else, you're going to be a tremendous blessing for them. So if you can be accountable for somebody else, definitely there's fruit to be had from that. Jeff already mentioned, and Brother Steve already mentioned, that you need to be growing personally. So be growing. If you're not stewarding your own personal relationship with Christ, we probably shouldn't expect that God be allowing us to be stewarding somebody else's personal relationship with Christ. So be growing. Be judicious. So when I say be judicious, be smart about what you spend your time talking about in these relationships. Topics of Christian liberty are going to come up. And my suggestion to you in that area is go to 1 Corinthians, spend 3 or 4 sessions studying what the Bible says about Christian liberty and how you should approach those topics. Most likely, whatever topic in the area of Christian liberty came up probably won't need to be resolved between the two of you if you really understand what the Bible says about how we should approach Christian liberty. Be purposeful. We call our meetings Iron Man meetings, and it comes from Proverbs 27:17, and it's to remind us both that it's a mutual relationship as we go into this, that we're to be sharpening each other. So the purpose for our meetings is mutual. You have to be flexible. Sometimes you can't meet, especially if you're doing somebody. I try to do it while I'm at work. For me and my family, if I can do this during a lunch hour, if I can stay from 5 to 6 and meet with Robert, it helps me take less time away from my family. But we have to be flexible in where you meet and things like that. Be an encourager, and there's many ways you can, in this type of relationship, you can be an encourager. It's in speech, in countenance and consistency. It's in how you counsel. So try to make sure that you're being an encourager. I can find myself being willing to be to follow the gospel call to be a rebuke to people, but that's not always the right time to do it. We have to speak the truth in love. Be expectant of highs and lows. You know, Jeff mentioned that some of his seven opportunities that he had to do this were short seasons. Some were long seasons. With Brett, it was a shorter season. With Jeremy, God's blessed us with 5 years. With Robert, I hope it's many years that the two of us will be able to meet and have these ongoing relationships. But be expectant of highs and lows in the various opportunities that God gives you. And the last one really is be humble when you have these opportunities. I have to watch and make sure I guard myself that I don't go in as the teacher, and that I'm going into it as iron sharpens iron, and I need to be taught. As I approach God's Word, I need to be not thinking about that person, what they need to be learning about that passage. I need to be learning about what I focus on, what I need to be learning from the gospel at that point, and sharing with that person openly. These are my struggles. This is what God is showing me. This is God's blessings that he's brought to me. And I've learned that as I'm humble and as I'm open, that the relationship actually develops and gets more deep, and it's actually more effective. So be cautious about being humble in those situations. Do we still have 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. 10 minutes? Okay, I'm going to share something that, since we don't have Nell with us, something that happened in the last week since the tragic events that happened. And I don't share this to draw attention to myself, because really I did something because I saw somebody else do something, and I did what they did. And so really one of the reasons I'm here today is to encourage you, because I've been motivated by what I've seen other people do. And if God can use me to motivate you guys, that's really why I'm here today. I saw somebody do this on Facebook last week. They posted a note, and it's a guy in our church, and you guys may have seen this, know who it is. They said, "Pray for me. Here's a note that I sent out to my coworkers this week." And he had put a disclaimer at the top of this email that said, "If this offends you, please delete this email. I'm sorry, but I'm about to share my faith." And he told a little bit about the tragic events that happened at the week, and then basically said how it related to him and shared his faith. I read that, and I was like, oh, God's given me a platform. I need to do that. And I had that conviction that I needed to do that. And all these things go through your mind. It's like, you know, what about my job? What will happen? Will I get in trouble? Should I do this? Should I not do that? Am I being wise to do it? Am I not being wise to do it? But the conviction never went away. And so I told that guy, I said, "Hey, I saw what you did. It's encouragement to me. The Lord has laid it on my heart to do that as well." And so I constructed the list of people that I work with and who I have a relationship with. And I sent a similar email out to the people I work with. "Hey, I work with a youth group here at Colonial for 6 years. I had a daughter that was on the second bus. And, you know, the week of those events were very difficult. And I shared some of the things. And I gave God the glory and the praise through that. And, you know, very, not down the dumps, but upbeat about why we can trust and rest on our Savior. And I said, you know, we know that Chad and Courtney and Tanya knew where they were going to go when they died. And I'm 100% sure that I know where I'm going to die." And I basically left it with some scripture and then the conversation of why are we so willing to talk about so many things in life. When it comes to this question, we close up. Why aren't we willing to have a conversation about this? Why is the name of Jesus offensive? And basically just invited people to come and say, "I'd love to show you in your Bible how you could know for sure, what the Bible says, how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. I'd love to just show you, you know, just come by and let me know if you'd like to do that." And I said in the meantime, I gave them a link to some things they could also look at. And I've gotten a lot of, I sent it out last Sunday, so I've been at work a week, and I've had a lot of emails, people have forwarded it to other people, it's been encouraging other people. And that was a step of faith for me. But I was encouraged by something I saw somebody else do. Wednesday, an Indian man that I work with, he's about my age and he's from India, walks into my office, and he said, "Hey, I want to talk to you about that email you sent." I was like, okay. He was one of the guys that I don't work with quite as much, but have a decent relationship with him. I thought he just wanted to understand more about what my involvement was in the accident, maybe wanted to understand the accident a little bit better. So that's just what I thought. I started talking about that. He actually had to correct me and said, "No, I really wanted to know. You said you could show me in the Bible, you know, a little bit more about your faith. I'd like to learn a little bit more about your faith." And so that was just a guy walking into my office and asking me to share my faith with him. I mean, I was just, what an encouragement to me. You know, God gave that to me just as a way to encourage me for, you know, obeying the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to meet next week. I definitely shared my faith, you know, at that opportunity and gave him scripture, the plan of salvation, as well as I could verbally with the help of the Holy Spirit at that time. We're going to meet. I already gave him the book done. And he's a very open guy. And so I look at it, and I'm hopeful that it'll be somebody like Robert, and that I'll have the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord. But the Lord knows where this guy named Jay is in his walk. He doesn't know a lot about the Bible. It's not his upbringing. But since we didn't have another speaker here, I definitely wanted to share another example of where somebody else taking a step in their faith and in the workplace was an encouragement to me. So if I can be that to you guys, then I think our time will be well spent today. So thank you.